Mac with your daily comedy news. There's a new book from former White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham. She revealed some fun facts about Donald J. Trump. Remember that time the president made a mysterious visit to Walter Reed? Not the COVID time, the other time? Grisham said it was for a colonoscopy that Trump stayed awake for, in part to keep late-night TV hosts from finding out and making fun of him. Jimmy Kimmel said he felt cheated because when a president, especially this president, gets a colonoscopy, it's my duty, that's right, duty, to make jokes about it. I have to say, it gives me a lot of satisfaction as a late-night talk show host to know that he opted to stay awake while they augured his innards with a sewer snake specifically because he didn't want us making fun of him. The president's doctor decided to schedule the procedure after the White House toilet killed itself. It took a while because the doctor kept accidentally sticking the camera in his mouth. As soon as they switched the camera on, Trump turned around and said, "Hey, Doc, how are the ratings?" The doctor said the hardest thing about giving Trump a colonoscopy was getting the camera around Mike Pence's nose. All that was Jimmy Kimmel. This is Fallon now. Yeah, colonoscopy was no big deal. They only found 3 polyps and Rudy Giuliani, Colbert. Well, sure, with this president, they had to film it in IMAX, Colbert. Oh my God, that had to be terrible for the doctor who had to give a colonoscopy while the guy on the table kept screaming about how he won Michigan. The book also says a White House official known as the Music Man would play Trump his favorite show tunes like Memory from Cats to pull Trump back from the brink of rage. Fallon said it makes sense because Trump's presidency is exactly like Cats, awkward, bizarre, and no one had any idea what the hell was going on. And Corden said, "One thing I know for sure, someday when Ryan Murphy eventually makes an American Crime Story about the Trump White House, I am definitely playing the Music Man." Ricky Gervais tweets, "I'll be the next James Bond, but I'm not doing any running around or working after 4 p.m. and no martini, bollocks drink, that. Oh, and he's from Reading and swears a lot." Here's the question of the day. Did John Mulaney and Pete Davidson have a Freaky Friday incident? One of the million things I do in my life is I teach a college class, and one of my students brought this to my attention. So here we had John Mulaney wear a suit on stage, perceived, you know, straight-laced guy, had a wife, Anna Marie Tendler. And then you had Pete Davidson, who was, you know, not that. Dresses differently, wall-to-wall tattoos, in the tabloids a lot. A tweet from Quinton Reviews on September 5th said, "There's something a little bit funny about how John Mulaney started hanging out with Pete Davidson and joked, like, I'm going to show him how we celebrities can live quiet, boring lives of sobriety. And like 4 months later, he enters rehab, divorces his wife, and knocks up Olivia Munn." I went digging on this. This is from the Interrobang in February 2019. Okay, February 2019, the Interrobang wrote, "Audiences who went to see John Mulaney and Pete Davidson in Red Bank, New Jersey on Sunday night got to see something rare and unexpected. They got to see John Mulaney and Pete Davidson, who were normally polar opposites in the fashion department, switch looks. John Mulaney decided to forego his highly tailored button-down suit look briefly to see what it's like to spend some time in Pete Davidson-esque Generation X threads, and the normally uber-casual Davidson gave the suit and tie look a try for their second show. Mulaney posted photos on the image switch on his Instagram with the caption, 'We switched clothes for the second show.' So back to the conspiracy theory. When they switched clothes, did they switch personalities?" Speaking of Pete Davidson, The Independent dug in on how much cast members on Saturday Night Live are reportedly paid on an episode-by-episode basis. The belief is those with the most experience earn more. That means Kenan Thompson is one of the highest paid cast members, according to The Independent. He began working at SNL in 2003 and is said to earn around $25,000 per episode. That's the same amount as Colin Jost, who's been with the show since 2014. They believe Michael Che, who joined in 2013, takes home about $15,000 an episode, and that is believed to be the same amount that Pete Davidson makes. Heidi Gardner, who joined in 2017, is reported to earn around $8,000 per episode. And Alex Moffat, who's been with the show since 2018, he's the guy that plays Eric Trump. He's rumored to be paid between $8,000 and $15,000. Now, speaking of Alex Moffat, The Wit Online has this headline: SNL's Alex Moffat embarrasses himself at failed Rowan comedy show. Oh my goodness. Owen O'Brien writes for The Wit Online, "I want to preface this by saying that Student University Program deserve major props for putting this night together. They spared no effort in attracting 2 huge names to campus. As for the show itself, I'll start with the positives. Marlon Wayans was hilarious." Ouch, here we go. Owen writes, this brings me to what we need to address. SNL comedian Alex Moffat's opening set was the strangest performance and the worst stand-up comedy I've ever seen, in person or otherwise. There's quite a bit to unpack here, and I'm going to try to paint a picture as vivid as possible. Moffat did the first few minutes of the show as a character, which amounted to him speaking German in a cartoonish accent. This alter ego babbled on, speaking different random German words, and ended on impressions of Sammy Davis Jr. and Shaquille O'Neal. Ultimately, Moffat was doing an impression of a person doing an impression of someone else, and the entire crowd was murmuring to each other about how confused they were at what was going on. You could barely make out what he was saying. My friend and I both had dumbfounded looks on our faces, and we even had to explain to the people sitting next to us that Moffat isn't German, and that was the joke. After about 5 minutes of this, which felt like 5 hours, Moffat switched to his normal speaking voice, apologized for starting so poorly, and proceeded to ramble about nothing for 15 minutes. It felt like he was setting up jokes with no intention of coming up with a punchline. During this rant, he did the classic angry tell someone to leave bit. It was actually pretty funny. He also mispronounced the name of the venue, which I'm probably going to mispronounce here, the Esbjornsson Gym. I don't know. Alex Moffat mispronounced it on purpose, and it got a chuckle out of them, and they thought, okay, maybe he's getting better. Until he decided to do both those jokes two more times each, he repeated the same exact joke 3 times, not once, but twice. I've never seen anything like it. I was awestruck. At one point, he had set up a joke, then put a pin in it, and told an aimless college story that had nothing to do with what he was talking about. Then he finished up the original joke to no avail, because we had all immediately forgotten what the setup was. Early on, he attempted crowd work. He jokingly insulted a member of the audience and apologized to them immediately after, as if he had committed some sort of transgression by telling jokes as a professional comedian. I cannot overstate just how little the crowd reacted to what he was doing. The room was dead silent for a majority of the act. Wow. It was like watching someone who had never done stand-up before, but also had never watched anyone else do it. At several moments, he resorted to making fun of Rowan University, something Hannibal Buress successfully did a couple of years ago. Moffat referred to them as the Princeton of South Jersey and addressed members of the crowd as cooking majors or something in a clearly demeaning tone. It felt like a 5-year-old was trying to insult us, and it just came across as lame more than anything else. My friend and I let out a deep, soulful groan as Moffat approached a keyboard set up to his left. He was going to attempt musical comedy. He referred to it as a sing-along and asked the crowd for a song suggestion. He picked Piano Man by Billy Joel and started smashing random notes and chords and half-heartedly sang the first verse. Then he skipped the rest of the song and walked out after introducing the host comedian DC for his second brief appearance. He landed the entire show with a thud and fled the scene of the crime. So I started a Facebook group. It is facebook.com/groups/DCNpod, facebook.com/groups/DCNpod. I'll put it in the show notes. What I'm trying to do there is foster some community. So if there's something comedy-wise that you're into, you know, random bit by Norm Macdonald or a funny movie or something you saw or something you want me to talk about the show, hit the Facebook group there, trying to get that rolling. And if you're a comedian, you want to promote your gig, go ahead. You know, I'll just ask, you know, be normal. Don't do it like constantly. Don't be that guy. But, you know, if you want to promote something every now and then, that would be good. Lane Spurkus is one of the regular listeners to the show. He took me up on the offer. He actually hit me on Instagram. Feel really encouraged to do that as well. Instagram at Daily Comedy News. He's got a show. He'll be appearing on the popular Stoned versus Drunk versus Sober show. That's in Lafayette, Louisiana, October 8th at the Worst Beer Garden. If I were anywhere close, Beer Garden alone would get me in. Lane Spurkus will be on Team Drunk for that show. That's a good time. Stoned vs. Drunk vs. Sober is a stand-up comedy competition featuring 3 teams of comics that try to answer the question, what if comics got stoned, drunk, or sober, then gave it their best as they perform on the edge? Comedians will perform their stand-up sets and the winning team will be voted on by the audience. 1 stage, 3 states of consciousness. $10 in advance, $15 at the door. Stoned versus Drunk versus Sober. If you're anywhere near Lafayette, Louisiana on October 8th, go hit that up. Support Lane. Back in New York City, the 15th annual Stand Up for Heroes event will return. Once again, appearances by comedian Bruce Springsteen, Jon Stewart, and Jim Gaffigan. They're in the lineup. This is to raise awareness and funds for the Bob Woodruff Foundation. The nonprofit Woodruff Foundation benefits injured service members, veterans, and their families. This year's event takes place at the Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center on November 8th. That's part of the New York Comedy Festival. And from the Sydney Morning Herald, the Melbourne Fringe Festival starts. It runs today through October 17th. Comedian Simon Taylor likes to keep positive. He said, I guess my attitude in general is, okay, what can I do? So when his Fringe Festival comedy show in October was among the hundreds nixed by continuing lockdown restrictions in Australia and the government told us we were only allowed picnics, I thought I could just do this show for 3 or 4 people at a picnic. It's fine with me. I'm the sort of comedian that take any gig, 1,000 people or 3, I don't mind. And out of that, Simon Taylor's Comedy Picnic was born. He's doing stand-up in the Carlton Gardens to a maximum of 4 people from a single vaccinated household. He says, it's sort of a Phoenix Festival rising from the ashes. It's inspiring to see what artists are coming up with in this time, the way they're imagining and reimagining their work. It just blows my mind. The Melbourne Fringe Festival, 18 days featuring 126 shows, of which 55 are pivots from a live to a digital event, and 44 are new since the original Doomed program's launch only a few weeks ago. There will be comedy, theater, cabaret, experimental art, and dance appearing on screens, heard through earphones, even delivered in mailboxes. Visit melbournefringe.com.au for the full program. And I've been clicking on my spam because I'm an idiot, which means I'm going to get more and more spam. But in today's spam, somebody's sending me jokes every day in the spam. Here's one. You ready? What do you call somebody with no body and no nose? Again, what do you call someone with no body and no nose? Nobody knows. And that's your comedy news for today. It's so bad. It's so bad. Follow the show on Spotify or Google Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, they've screwed up the design. Apple, I can't play nice anymore. You don't promote me anyway. You got to go to the top right of the app, and there's a plus. Click the plus. Stop changing the design, man. Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/DCNpod. Buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Instagram @DailyComedyNews. See you back here tomorrow.